Okay, today's daf is Nida daf Beis. We begin Maseches Nida, the last Masechta in Shas, the only Masechta in Seder Taras that has Talmud Bavli on it. Today's shir is sponsored by the Herskowitz and Akron families, Le'ili Nishmas, the yard site of Jeremy's grandfather, Sidney Gettenberg, Yisrael ben Shmuel, Alav HaShalom, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah, and we thank the Herskowitzes very much for the sponsorship. It is also sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and we thank Dr. Landerer as well very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi. So we are again holding at the very beginning of Maseches Nida. So a couple of words of introduction over here. The Maseches Nida is not the first Masechta in Seder Taros. It is the seventh Masechta in Seder Taros. And the Rambam explains that it does not become at the very beginning because the issues that come up earlier are in Seder Taros relate to tumos that apply both to men and to women. Maseches Nida deals with tumas primarily with tumas that relates to women. It does talk about zav as well, and zav applies to men as well. There is zav and zava, but primarily is about a woman seeing dam, and therefore we put it after the first six mesechtos. The Mishnah in the third part of Pirkei Avos tells us that Reb Elazar ben Chasma Omer kinin upischi nida hein heim gufei halachos. If you want to highlight the importance of learning nida, the Mishnah tells us that kinin and pischi nida are gufei halachos. What exactly does pischi nida mean? So the Bar Tanura on the spot explains, figuring out the Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva, which we're going to discuss. Not every time a woman sees dam, that's bam in amakar, that comes from the shedding of the uterine lining, does it necessarily mean that she's a Nida? She might be a Zava, and all of that is dependent on the timing of when she sees the dam. Physiologically, it's the same exact event, but just based on the timing, and based on figuring out the calendar, it will either make her a Nida or a Zava, and doing that cheshbon, which we no longer do nowadays, because it's so complicated to do, but doing that cheshbon, that's what we're referring to as gufei halachos. Others explain, the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos explains that it means the psachim shebi'isha, that sometimes she has dam toar. A woman, for example, after giving birth, let's say to a baby boy, is tameh for 7 days, but then for the next 33 days, any dam that comes out of her is dam toar. Or for a girl, it's 14 to 66. So being able to differentiate between dam toar and dam tameh, or different colors of dam. Sometimes there are certain colors that of things that will come out of her body that will not be metameher. So all of the different shades of dam and being able to distinguish between them, especially on a daraisa level, where there are many shades of red that will not be metameh in isha. There are only five shades that will be metameh in isha. So that's what we're describing as gufei halachos. According to either interpretation, it turns out that the element of pischei nida that's gufei halachos, that the Mishnah is identifying as gufei halachos, is something that we no longer observe, right? It's either the difference between Ziva and Nida, or it's the difference between Dam Toar and Dam Tameh. We're Metameh all of those things, and we treat everything like a Zava Gedola. The reason that a woman is called a Nida, Rashi explains on Chumash, is because she is Menuda Mimaga Kol Adam. That it's as if she's been not excommunicated, but like removed a little bit, in the sense that people stay away from physical contact with a woman that is a Nida. So the Masechta, for the most part, discusses Nida. It also talks about Zava. It also talks about Yoledes. So that's going to be what we're going to be involved in for the next couple of months. Obviously, there are other topics that come up tangentially, as you always expect in Talmud Bavli, throughout the course of the Masechta. The learning of this Masechta is considered to be a very great challenge and a very great mitzvah. In Sefer Chasidim, in Siman Reish Samach Aleph, he famously comments that a person should love those mitzvos that are doma lemeis mitzvah, she'en la'oskim, that if you find a mitzvah that people aren't doing, latch on to that mitzvah. If you find an area of Torah that people aren't learning, latch on to that area of Torah and learn it. And he says, you see a mitzvah that's bezuya or Torah she'en la'oskim, there's Torah that people aren't involved in. He says, you see, for example, everyone's always learning Seder Moed or Seder Nashim, so you should learn Kadshim. If you see that people aren't learning Moed Katan and Perak Misha Mesu because it's too depressing, so you should learn that. And because it's a it's a mace mitzvah. So any area of Torah that's more challenging and therefore people refrain from would be considered something that's particularly worthy of learning. In the Knesset HaGadolah, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Yeridea, Simon Reish Mem Hei, he says that he heard that there are people that refrain from learning Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, the Rashi Tevos of Ani, Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, that there are people that refrain from learning it, and they don't make it part of a yeshiva curriculum. But he says that one has to be careful that even though it's not part of a yeshiva curriculum, La'atzmo, kol echad ve'echad, tzarech lelamdom. At least on your own, everybody has to make sure to learn this. This is part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of learning kol ha'Torah kula. In Kesef Mishnah, in the fourth parak of Yisorei HaTorah, he explains that line of the Mishnah in Pirkei that we mentioned before, that Kinin and Pischei Nida are Gufei Halachos, and the Mishnah goes on to say that Kufos and Gematrios are Parparaos L'Chachma. So he says what the juxtaposition over there between Kufos and Gematrios, which are Parparaos L'Chachma, versus Kinin and Pischei Nida, which are Gufei Halachos, he says even though Kufos and Gematrios deal with things that are very lofty and are Dvarim HaShamayim, these are things that relate to Shemayim, and Kinim is something that doesn't seem to be such a valuable limud. Pischei Nida discusses something that seems somewhat disgusting. We're talking about bodily functions and that which comes out of that which the body expels. The body expels waste product, and this is what we're talking about, says the says the Kesef Mishnah. Yes, that's exactly what the Mishnah is highlighting. Afal Pikein, it's Kufei Halachos, that this is a chelik of Torah like anything else. This is the ikr of Torah in terms of the schar that one gets for engaging in these areas of Torah. Tkufos and Gematrios, even though they seem to be discussing the most lofty things, they're only paparos l'chachma. That's not the ikr of Torah. When you're engaged in Gematrios, they're paparos l'chachma. Worthwhile, but as the spice, as the seasoning on top of our meat and potatoes, which is the ikr of our learning. So the Gufei Halachos are the ikr of the learning. The Rambam, the Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, to the Mishnayis Taros, says that when Chazal say Tumas and Taros are Gufei Torah, it means that they are the sulam that brings toward Ruach HaKodesh, that they are considered to be the ladder that elevates a person to bring him to a sense of Ruach HaKodesh. So with that introduction, let's begin to discuss a little bit of the background of Hilchos Nida itself. So just for the simple understanding of our Mishnah, a couple of terms that we need to be familiar with. When a woman has a set time that she sees dam, that's called a veset. And if she's unpredictable in terms of when she's going to be see dam, that's called the nisha she'ein la veset, a woman who does not have a habit. Veset means a habit. That's why Chazal say shinoi veset tchilas cholimei ayim, that if a person has a shinoi veset, a man has a shinoi veset, it will be the beginning of stomach problems. What's that talking about? It means if he changes his eating habits very suddenly, so it's likely going to take a toll on how he feels. So veset just means habits. But over here, in the context of Nida, it means that she's habituated to see dam at a very particular time. Now, a woman becomes a Nida not when the dam leaves her body entirely, but when the dam goes from what's called the Bayis HaPanimi to the Bayis HaChitzon. It's a bit of a machlokas exactly where the dam has to go, but it definitely has to leave the uterus and go toward the vaginal canal, right? Whether in the cervix it's considered to be that it's already, or where in the cervix it would be considered to be already a Nida, that's up for debate. But certainly once the dam goes into the vaginal canal, even though it has not yet left her body, she's already a Nida. Just by the dam going into the Bayis HaChitzon would already make her Nida, which therefore brings up the issue that our Mishnah is going to discuss, which is, what if she finds dam and now it's out of her body, but she doesn't know how long it's been in the Bayis HaChitzon for? She doesn't know how long it's been in the vaginal canal. Maybe she's already been tameh for hours, for days. What does she know? How does she know how long the dam has been there? So since halachically that's going to make her a Nida, our Mishnah is going to discuss how far back retroactively she has to be choshesh. Now this is nogea for tumen tahara. It's not going to be nogeya lebaila. Now, the only part of hilchas nida we observe nowadays is the isser lebaila. The isser lebaila, you can't retroactively do anything anyway, and we don't have any such chashashos. We just assume when she finds it, so that's when she becomes tameh. But when it comes to tumen tahara, you have to start cheshbening. Did she touch any truma? What was a moshav and a mishkav of anida? So all of these things are going to be relevant when it comes when we go back to the system where we're observing tumen tahara. It's also important to realize the difference between a nida and a zava. The first time a woman ever sees dam, she's tameh for 7 days. That 7 days are the yemei nida, and it doesn't matter how much dam she sees. It doesn't matter whether it's a tipas dam kechardal or whether it's a full flow of dam that lasts the entirety of the 7 days. Either way, she's going to be in nida. That is halacha mida oraisa. A lot of times people are confused by that because they think that sometimes, you know, when a woman has a shayla with a stain of dam, the rabbi will ask, well, how much dam was it? And so how much dam was it is only an issue when it comes to a stain, when it comes to dam that was found that's not actual nida. But when it's her actual period that comes on a on schedule, so it doesn't matter how much dam it is. If that's her nida, so it used to be that a way, an indicator that or it still is, that an indicator that people will use to figure out, is this just a stain or is it actual nida? So one indicator is how much dam was it. But la halacha, if it's actual nida, even the tiniest amount of dam will be a metameher. So there are many women nowadays that have a regular cycle, but the cycle is that they bleed a tiny drop every month, most often when they're on a pill. Right, so it changes. So if a woman is on a pill, very often it will vastly alter the amount of dam that she sees. But if she sees every time she takes her placebo and it's just a tiny drop, that's tuma d'oraisa. That's absolutely nida d'oraisa, because it doesn't matter whether the amount of dam is irrelevant. Tipas dam kechardal, or she bleeds for all 7 days, she is tamei tumas nida. If as long as she stops bleeding before the end of the 7 days, she goes to the mikveh that night on a d'oraisa level, and she is tahora. Now, day 8, for the next 11 days, day 8 through 18, are called the Achadas or Yom Shebein Nida Lenida, the 11 days that are in between time periods during which she's eligible to become a Nida. If she sees Dam during those days, she is a Zava. If she sees Dam one day during those days, she's a Zava Ketana, she's Tamei for that day, goes to the Mikvah for the next day, and is Tahora. If she sees Dam for 2 consecutive days during those Yud Aleph Yom, she's a Zava Ketana still, just Tamei for those days, goes to the Mikvah for the next day, and is Tahora. But if she sees Dam for 3 days consecutively during the Yud Aleph Yom, Shebein, Nida Lenida, she is what's called a Zava Ketana, and she is going to be tameh until she has shiva nikiyim, until she has 7 consecutive days of actual clean days of not seeing any dam. So the requirement of shiva nikiyim on a d'oraisa level is only by a zava gedola, not by a nida. If those 11 days pass, then she goes back to Yemei Nida. Meaning, the next time, this is the way Rashi understands, and Rov Rishonim understand, it's not the way the Rambam understands, but that we're just explaining the way Rashi says, whenever the next time she sees Dam is, it could be on the 12th day, or it could be 3 weeks later, 3 months later, whenever the next time she sees Dam is, that's going to restart her as a Nida. Right? That's the way Rov Rishonim understand the system. That after the Yemei Nida are over, that triggers 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Once those 11 days are over, it doesn't matter how long it takes till the next time she sees Dam. The next time she sees Dam, she's going to become a Nida again. The Rambam understands, no, you have 7 days after the 11 that she's eligible for Nida. Then another 11 that she's eligible for Ziva. It doesn't, it keeps rotating between Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva, even if she didn't see any Dam. That's Shitas Rambam. We don't pass them like the Rambam, and we don't pass them like any of it. We treat everything like a Zava, but that's the Shitas Rambam. So we're going to discuss in today's daf is pretty straightforward. The Mishnah is going to talk about if a woman finds Dam, do we assume that she's Tamei L'mafreya, and how much L'mafreya? Meaning, how much do you have to think back? Oh no, did I touch any Truma? Was I Metamei anything? So that we're going to have a three-way Machlokas Tanayim about that. the Gemara is going to explain the shitos of Hillel and Shammai, what they're based on in terms of whether there is Tumah l'mafreya or not. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to try to compare the chazaka that an isha has, that she has a cheskas tara, to a chazaka of a mikvah. What happens if you find a mikvah, you had a mikvah that you know was once kosher, and now you find that it doesn't have enough water in it anymore? What about everything that you toveled in it in between the last time that you knew that it was kosher and right now that it's no longer kosher? So we're going to compare the cheskas isha to a cheskas mikvah, and then we're going to compare the chazaka that an isha has to a different halacha, to a chazaka of a chavis. You have a barrel of wine, and you know that it was wine, that it was perfectly good wine. Now you check it out and you see that it's vinegar, but you've kept on being mafresh truma for wine from this barrel. So you've been assuming that it's wine, but now you see that it's not, and you can't be mafresh vinegar on wine or wine on vinegar. So how far back do you have to assume that it turned? So that we're going to compare that to the chazaka of an isha, that you know she was Torah, now you see there's dam. How far back do you have to assume that the dam was there? So again, first we're going to compare the chazaka of an isha to the chazaka of a mikvah, then the chazaka of an isha to the chazaka of a chavis, and then the Gemara is going to say, we'll drop the isha, we'll compare the chazaka of a mikvah to the chazaka of a chavis. Meaning each of the two things that we choose to compare to an isha, we're then going to compare to each other. That is the layout of what we're going to do today. So let us begin the Mishnah. Okay, Shammai Omer, Kol Hanashim Dayan Shaitan. Shammai says, any woman that finds dam, she's only mitame truma and taharos, mishas ri'iya ve'elach. From the time that she sees the dam and on, we are not choshesh that this dam may have been sitting in the bayis achitzon prior to her finding the dam, and that she could have found it had she just done a bedika earlier, she would have found this dam. We do not make that assumption. Whereas Hillel Omer, Mifkidul Fkida, Vafilu Liyam Harbe. Hillel says, no, we assume that she's been Tameh since the last time she checked herself. So if a woman checked herself on Sunday and she was fine, she was Tahora, and then she doesn't do anything until Wednesday, and she goes back and checks herself on Wednesday and finds that she's Tameh, or Choshesh, that she was already Tameh prior to Wednesday, and Misafik, she's metame all the taros that she came in contact with since Sunday. That were choshesh that the moment she finished doing her bedika on Sunday, right afterwards, the dam came into the bayis achitzon, and she right away became tame. Do we know that? No, we don't know that, but choshesh misafik. So misafik were metame everything back to Sunday, vafilu liyamim harbe. Even if it's been many days, we're metame misafik all the taros that she was osik in, and for all of those days between the two bedikos. The Chum momrim, lo kedivrezeh, v'lo kedivrezeh. And the Chum say, not like Shammai, and not like Hillel. We don't say that, we don't say dayashaita, nor do we say mifkida lefkida, rather, ela me'es la'es me'ma'etes ha'yidei mifkida lefkida, u'mifkida lefkida me'ma'etes ha'yidei me'es la'es. That there are two zmanim that are important to keep in mind when it comes to Tumah l'mafreya. There's me'es la'es, and mifkida lefkida. And we got follow whichever one is more lenient. Meaning me'es la'es, Rov Rishonim assume means 24 hours since the last time that that she was Roa. That's how Rashi says, that's how the Rambam says in the ninth parak of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah. There's a Tshuvas HaGaonim that quotes that Meis Leis might mean 12 hours. But we generally assume that it means 24 hours, like the large majority of Rishonim. So you keep these two time periods in mind. 24 hours and the last time she did a bedika. Whichever one was more recent, that's how far back she's metame l'mafreya. So in the case we gave before, where her last bedika was Sunday, now it's Wednesday, no, you only go back to Tuesday to be metame things l'mafreya. If her last bedika was this morning, and now it's just a few hours later, you only go back to this morning, you don't go back 24 hours to be metame her l'mafreya. So that's the halacha according to the Chachamim. Now we don't say that she's tamei necessarily 24 hours earlier if you have evidence, because she did a bedika earlier today, so that's enough to restart her cheskas tahara. Tosos raises a question Why is this any different than any other suffik tumah? See, Rashi over here writes that this tumah that she was nogeya is a tumah misafik, and it's asurba. So let's say she touched truma, so you're not going to be allowed to eat such truma because it might be truma tumeya. But the halacha by truma tumeya is that you have to burn truma tumeya. No, but it's asur to burn truma tahora, since you're not sure that this is truma tumeya because you don't know that she was in Eden when she touched it. You can't burn it either. We treat it like tumah misafik. Furthermore, the Gemara is going to tell us that it's dafka by truma and kachim that we say she's metame lemafreya misafik. When it comes to chulin, we assume that it's still tahora. Any chulin that she came in contact with, that we assume is still tahor. So Tosfos raises the question, why is this safik tuma different than any other safik tuma? Now, most of the time we learn safik tuma from sota. Halacha is safik tuma b'rishos yachid is tame. It's a safik tuma, yeah, but the halacha we derive from sota, from the parsha of sota, is that it's tameh anyway. And when we say safek tumah b'rishos yachid is tameh, it means tameh b'tumas vadai. So why is it that over here with this woman's tumah safek, we're saying that it remains tumah safek, and we're not going to be sorry if the tumah because we're not sure. Yet if you had a situation of a safek tumah on that tumah in a rishos yachid, you'd burn that tumah. It would be tameh b'tumas vadai. What's the difference between one safek tumah and another? So Tos suggests that what we learn from Sota is only Tumma mikanu lahaba. But as far as Tumma lemafreya, we don't learn from Sota. We assume it has a cheskas tahara. It's just by Truma and Kachim that the Chum were machmir to be metame misafek. So since it's only Chum midrabanan, it's not a dinda raisa that's really derived from Sota, so it still remains only Tumma misafek because the whole thing is only a Chumra midrabanan. Had it been a dinda raisa that we actually derive from Sota, then Enochinami, we would have said that it has the status of Tumas Vadai. Okay, so that is the three-way machlokas between Shammai, Hillel, and the Chachamim. Kali shishiyesh leveses daya shaita. Anytime a woman has a specific zman that she's expecting to see dam, and she does a bedika dafka during that zman, that's important. The Gemara is going to highlight that point or discuss that point. That it's dafka that she does a bedika then, and in fact she finds dam, then daya shaita. Then we're metame her only from that moment and on. We're not choshesh that the dam has been sitting there in the bayis achitzot previously. No, we assume what the Gemara refers to as, and Rashi quotes over here, arech bizmanoba, that the guest comes on time. That if you're expecting the guest, and the guest said they'll come at 3 o'clock, and you open the door at 3 o'clock, and there they are, they're standing right there. You don't assume they've been standing there for the last 7 hours just waiting for you to open the door, right? So over here also, if the woman has a vesed kavua, she has an expected time that she's going to see dam, and she does the bedika right then, and she finds the dam. Good, that's when we assume the dam had arrived. Probably the proper way to pronounce this word is be'idim, but the yeshivish way to pronounce it is be'edim, as if it's witnesses. But it means with a cloth, with a sadin. So I'm not sure, what should we do? I'll do the yeshivish way. Hameshameshes be'edim, if a woman is meshamesh with a cloth, meaning she checks herself out with a cloth before tashmish and after tashmish, harezu kipikita. That counts as a check, meaning if she later finds that she's tameh, the tumah will only go to mafreya to when she checked herself before and after Tashmish. And therefore will be metame her, it will be metire her as in less amounts of time, meaning if normally the Tumah would go back 24 hours, but she had Tashmish 6 hours ago, so she'll only be metame those things that she came in contact with in the last 6 hours. If her last Bedika was 10 hours ago, and then she did this Mishamash's Be'edim, so we're going to be metame only back to the time of the Tashmish. So we're not going to say that she was already, that the dam was already there before the Tashmish. It only goes back to the Shas Tashmish Ve'elach. That's how Rashi explains why. Shari Kodim Tashmish Batko Matzasa Torah. Because why not? Meaning, of course, if she checked herself before Tashmish and she was Torah, then of course she's going to be considered to be Tahora up until that point. The Achronim raised the question, a number of the Achronim, Chassam Sofer and the Rashash, that the Maskan of the Gemara that we're going to have in Daf Hayamid Aleph is that a Bedika before Tashmish is not a real Pekida, because it's not a real checking, because she's Mahuma Lebesa. Mahuma Lebesa means it's a time that she's rushing the Bedika, because she's interested in beginning to have Tashmish, so she's not going to do a proper Bedika B'chorin uVestakin. So that L'chor is the Chiddush of this line in the Mishnah. We're going to have to see how it fits with the Gemara. But that's, meaning the way Rashi explains our Mishnah right now is really the Hava Amina in the Gemara of how to explain the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have a Maskana that's going to explain the Mishnah differently. But Rashi does that all the time. The Achronim point out that even though Rashi goes against the Maskana of the Gemara is going to have a vastly different explanation of this line in the Mishnah. But Rashi most often, when he explains the Mishnah, explains the Mishnah the way you're supposed to read it when you're reading the Mishnah. Meaning, and then you're supposed to go through the process of saying, well, wait a second, is that really true? What about the fact that she's Muhuma Labesa? She probably didn't do a real Bedika. Maybe the Mishnah means something else. That's all part of the process of what you're supposed to go through. So that's what, in fact, when Rashi very often on the Mishnah will say, Mefarish B'Gemara, that the Gemara is going to explain something later on. So Mendel Blachman told me many years ago when I was my first year in Keren B'Yavna, he says that you always have to pay attention to those Rashis, because why would Rashi say that? Of course, the Gemara always explains everything that it says in the Mishnah. Why would Rashi have to point out sometimes Mefarish B'Gemara? He says, no, Mefarish B'Gemara obviously means that there's something in the Mishnah that doesn't make sense as you're reading the Mishnah. Meaning, and that's what Rashi has to tell you. Don't worry, we're going to get to this in the Gemara. But things that make sense as you're reading the Mishnah, Rashi doesn't tell you Mefarish B'Gemara. Things even that make sense that you're reading incorrectly. But as long as it makes sense as you're reading it, it's only the Havamin of the Gemara. Rashi doesn't have to tell you Mefarish B'Gemara. He'll just be Mefarish it the way you're supposed to read it right now. So this is one such example of that. Okay, Ketzad Dayashaita. What's an example of a woman who has a veset, which is, Tosfos raises the question, like, now we're coming back to that? We just went, didn't this belong like before the line of Hamishah Meshes Be'edim? Okay, but anyway, the Mishnah gets to it now. Ha'isa Yoshevus B'mitav Asuka B'taros. If a woman is sitting on a bed and she's Osek B'taros, Uparsha V'rasa, she gets up from the bed and she sees Dam, so he Tameya, she's Tameya as a Nida because she sees Dam, the Hain Taros, but all the Taros she was just dealing with on that bed are Taros, because she has a, we're assuming that she has a Vesus Kavua, so we assume Daya Shaita, that she's only Tamei from the moment that she found the dam, which is after she got up from the bed. It was only a minute after, but it doesn't matter. It's after she got up from the bed, so therefore all the taros that she was dealing with are still tahar. Now, the fact that we're machmir to be metameh, or going back 24 hours, l'mafreya, but still when she's counting her 7 days of nida, that's only from when she actually saw the dam. So let's say on Monday she sees dam, now she has to go back to be metameh everything she's touched since Sunday, but day one of her 7 days is Monday, not Sunday, because that's the time that she knows that she's seen dam. Being metamei l'mafreya is only a chumrah. So now says the Gemara, my time is Shammai. Why does Shammai hold that if a woman sees dam, she's not metamei l'mafreya at all? That it's daya shaita. She's only going to be tamei mikanu lahaba. So the Gemara explains very simply: kasaver hemeri shal cheskasa v'yishav cheskas tahora omedes. The woman had a cheskas tahora. We know that prior to that she was tahora, so we assume that she remained tahora until we know that it changed, and therefore she's only going to be mitameh mikan l'haba. She's not going to be mitameh l'mafreya. Hillel also holds that, right? Meaning Hillel holds that all the chulin that she touches is tahar, because Hillel also holds that we're mamid her al cheskasa. It's just that Hillel thinks that we have to be machmir when it comes to tumen tahara. That we have to be extra machmir. V'hillel ki amrin hemen davar al cheskaso heich delase reyasu migufei. At least mitam chumra, he says, when it comes to tumen tahara, when do we rely on the chazaka? That's when there's no reyasa from the body itself. Aval itza, but when it comes to a woman, kivin de migufa kachazia, the dam came out of her body. Lo amrin an ukma cheskasa. We're no longer going to say that we can just rely on her chazaka that she was tahora. Because here's something changed in the guf itself. Good, so that's the machlokas between Shammai and Hillel. Now the Gemara says, let's try to compare a nida to other areas of halacha where something was known to be okay at some earlier time, and now we find it to not be okay. How do we deal with the time in between? So, umay shnami mikvah. First comparison the Gemara is going to make is to a mikvah. Why is this any different than a mikvah? Ditnan. The Mishnah says in the second parak of Maseches Mikvaos, mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. Let's say you measure a mikvah today on Friday and you find that the mikvah is chaser, that it's less than the 40 sa'ah that are needed to make a kasher mikvah, but you have no idea when it dipped below the 40 sa'ah line. So, kol taru shenasu al gaba v'lmafreya, all taharos that you had put into the kalim that were toveled in that mikvah that were previously tameh and then were toveled in that mikvah lemafreya bein berushos harabim, whether the safek on the mikvah is on a mikvah that's standing in a rishos harabim bein berushos yachid, or whether the mikvah is in a rishos yachid tameos, all those taharos are going to be tameh because we treat them like a vadei tumah, not like a safek tumah. So the Gemara now says the kasha l'shamay, according to Shamay that says dayashaita, that when a woman sees dam, we only assume she's tameh from now on and not lemafreya at all. Kasha lemafreya. So we have a kasha on the fact that the taros are going to be tameh lemafreya by the mikvah. Why don't we say that mikvah al cheskaso? The mikvah was last known to be kosher, and therefore assume it still is. And lehillel, according to Hillel, their nisha's metameh lemafreya, and we're not mamid her al cheskasa kasha vaday. But still, by the mikvah, we're saying that the taros are tameh lemafreya betumas vaday. Even Hillel doesn't go that far. Even Hillel only said that whatever truma she touched in the last 24 hours or since the last time she did a bedika was Hillel, the last time she did a bedika, since we're not going to treat it as tameh vaday, you're not going to be allowed to burn that truma. But over here by the mikvah, we're treating it like tumah vaday. So and the raya that we treat like tumah vaday is that even if the mikvah was in Rosh Hashanah, we're saying that everything is tameh. If it were a suffix tumma, then Bereshus Rabim, we would have said tar. So obviously you're treating it like a tumma vadai. So answers the Gemara now. Hasa mishum di'ika lemeimar, hemet tamei al cheskaso, ve'ima lo taval. There's another chazaka in play over there. You're right, the mikvah has a chazaka that it was previously kosher, but the kli that you put into that mikvah to be metayer that kli has a chazaka that it was previously tameh, and therefore it was never toveled. It had a chazaka that it had not yet been toveled, and now you put it in a mikvah that was questionable. So the chazaka is that it was never toveled, and that maybe you put it in the mikvah when the mikvah was already chaser. But over here by the tumas nida lemafreya, the taros that she was osek in didn't have a cheskas tuma. The truma that she touched did not have a cheskas tuma. So we're not metame pivadei lemafreya. According to Shammai, it's only going to be metame mikano laba, and according to Hillel, it's only going to be suffik tuma lemafreya. So frankly, Gemara Adraba, Hemen Mikvah Cheskasa, why are you looking at the chazaka of the items that you put in the mikvah that they were previously tameh? Why don't you look at the chazaka of the mikvah? The mikvah was previously perfectly kasher mikvah, ve'ema lo chaser, and therefore you should say that it didn't dip below the 40 sa'ah mark until the very last moment. Says Gemara, how can you say such a chazaka? Hare chaser lefanecha. But right now you see that it's less than 40 sa'ah. So what kind of chazaka? You can say a chazaka, may occur that it was more than 40 sa'ah, but you're looking at it right now, and right now it's less than 40 sa'ah. So frankly, Gemara, yeah, but that's how chazaka works. Hachanami, hare dam lefanecha. The same is true by an isha. The isha, you're going to say, cheskas tahore, even though right now she's an ida. So that's how chazaka is. So says Gemara, well, by the isha, you could say, hashtu the chazai. Then maybe she just saw the dam right now. Frankly, Gemara, yeah. And hachanami, hashtu the chaser. By the mikvah, you could say that it was 40 sa'ah the whole time, and just now it sprung a leak or something, and it evaporated or whatever, and just now it went below 40 sa'ah. Says Gemara, no, hachi hashta. You can't compare the case of the mikvah to the case of the isha. Hasam, when it comes to the case of the mikvah, ikal meimer chaser vasa, it was a process. It loses, it evaporates so minimally at a time that it happens over a long period of time. So you have to say that the reyusa happened at some earlier time, even though you're only finding it chaser now, since that process of it losing water begins from the moment it's filled up. It's a process that takes so much time. So the process of it losing water has already begun, had already begun way, way earlier, and therefore you can't rely on the Chazaka and the Meyakara, because it was constantly changing from the moment that Chazaka was established. Whereas Hacha, by the Nida, Mikel Meimer Chazai Vasa, there's a moment that she becomes a Nida. It's not like a process that happens that's setting itself up over time, and that it's already from the time that she becomes Tahora that she's just one step closer to Tumah. No, there's a moment that at some point she'll become a Nida. Says Gemara, are you sure? My kushya, Dilma Hagas Hagas Chazite. Maybe by a Nida also, the way the Rishonim explained this, the Makar is filling with Dam, and as it fills with Dam and ultimately overflows, that one Tipa, it only needs a Tipa's Dam in order to make her a Nida, but it's a process that happens. Her body is in this constant process, and the second she became Torah, the process of her becoming Tameh has already begun. It just didn't actually happen until that Tipas Dam came out. So says Gemara, no, what you have to say, the difference between the Isha and the Mikvah is as follows. Hasamika tarti l'reisa. Hacha ika chada l'reisa. And that's what the Gemara sticks with. That by the Mikvah, we're metame the Kelim, because there are two reasons to be metame the Kelim. You have the Tumah, you have the Cheskas Tumah that the Kelim had, and you have a mikvah chasr lefanecha. So you have two indicators that there's something wrong. The only indicator that something is right was the fact that the mikvah had a chazaka meyakara. But over here by the Nida, there's only one reis. So there's only one reason to be metame the taros. And that is that hare nida lefanecha. But the taros that she was osik in had no other reis. There was no cheskas tumah on the taros. So by Nida, it's just one versus one. It's the cheskas tara that she had to begin with, and hare nida lefanecha. So that, the cheskas tara, is going to be more powerful. But by the mikveh, you have the cheskas, kashrus of the mikveh, and you have the chasr lefanecha, the mikveh is chasr lefanecha, but then you also have cheskas tumah of the things that were put into that mikveh, and that tips the scales in favor of tumah, and that's why by the mikveh we're going to say vaday tameh. Good, that's the comparison to mikveh. Now says the Gemara, maishna mechavis. Wait a second, why is the din of nida different than the case of a chavis? Ditnan, we have a mishnah, or it's Tosefta in the fourth parak of Trumas, a person designates a barrel of wine to be his truma barrel for all his other chavios, but because you're not allowed to be mafresh from chometz al yayin, at least that's the shita in Tanaim that we're sticking with for the sake of this discussion. It happens to be a machlokas and maseches babasa whether you can or cannot be mafresh from chometz al yayin, but let's assume that way for now. Hayabodik as chavis, a person is bodik a barrel to taste it to make sure that it's still wine. Nios mafresh la truma vaholich, to be rely on that barrel to be the hafrashas truma for all other tevel wine that he has. And then at some later date, he revisits that barrel, tastes it again. It's all soured. It's turned to vinegar. So kol shlosha yamim vaday. For 3 days, we assume that it's vaday. It's machlokas amorayim in Masechta Babasa, what that means. So Rabbi Yochanan says it means all for the first 3 days from the time that he was previously bodek the chavis and known it to be wine. We assume for the next 72 hours after that, it was definitely wine, because it would not have turned to chometz in less than 3 days. Whereas Rabbi Shub and Levi understands shloshim vaday, the 3 days since the 3 days prior to the current bedika when you found it to be chometz, it was vaday chometz, but before that it may have been wine. Okay, but mikan ve'ilch safek, anything outside of those 72 hours, whichever 72 hours it is, it's a safek. So kasha l'shamay, so there's a kasha and shamay who said by Anida that we're mamel al cheskasa and it's not metamei l'mafreya. So over here we are saying that that it's going to be problematic l'mafreya at some point, either 72 hours l'mafreya or all the way back to the first 72 hours. So answers Gemara, no, hasam shumdika l'meimar hemet hevel al cheskasa. So ve'emalonitkan. No, over there you have a chazaka that that which you were trying to be misakin with this truma was previously tevel. So we have to assume that it's still tevel. But the wine had a chazak of being wine, not hare hichmetz lefnecha. Yeah, but right now it's vinegar. So achinami hare dam lefnecha. By the nida also, You could say right now she's a nida. Yeah, but hasu de chazai. It could be that she just became a nida right now. So hasanami hasu de chmitz. But it could be that the wine just soured right now. So hachiyasu. No, you can't compare the two cases. The souring of wine is a process. So the moment wine is made, it's becoming less and less fresh every moment, and it's souring. So when exactly it turned to the halachically vinegar, that's the shaila. But the process began right away. You don't have such a thing by a woman. It's not a process. She was tahora until she was tamea. Says maybe it is a process by a woman. Maybe just like we said before, and maybe it's the moment she becomes tahora, her body starts functioning to a point where the makor fills with dam until it gets to the point where a tipas dam falls out. So says Gemara, you're right. Hasamika tarti l'reisa, hacha ikachad l'reisa. The same answer that we gave before, we're going to give for chavis as well. There are two reasons to be machmir by the chavis: the chazaka of tevel of the yain that you were mafresh on it, and the chometz lefanecha. Over here by the nida, you have hare nida lefanecha, but you don't have any other negative indicator, and that's why we're going to assume that she is tahora. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with the comparison between mikvah and chavis.